The General Services Administration reviews version 4 of the Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design Green Building Certification Programs program. It wants to know if the LEED system is actually helping agencies meet federal green building goals. Kevin Kampschroyer is Federal Director of the Office of Federal High Performance Green Buildings and Senior Climate Change Adaptation Official at GSA. Kevin, it is great to have you on the program. As always, thank you very much for joining me. The sustainability best practices that you are pushing at the General Services Administration, what are some of those that will work well across government? Thank you for being on today, Kevin.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Well, I'll tell you, if you have no money at all, the answer is the same as if you have some money.
That's good news.
First of all, 80% of the people in buildings say that it's too cold in the summertime. It seems like there's a simple solution to that. You turn the thermostat down. And second of all, we know from a lot of measurements that there's, in a lot of cases, too much glare and too much light is causing that, so turn the lights off. Those are no-cost solutions that will save money. And the same thing is the low-cost solution is do a lighting upgrade and get a professional to help you really design the lighting. And second of all, you can redesign the controls in buildings for a very low cost for pretty high return. But I just want to leave one little zinger out there, which is this. Don't just do the simple stuff, because if you couple that with more complicated things, you can combine those for a package payback in the building that's really, really attractive.
The last time that you were on the program, we talked about, and it's been a little while, but we talked about the beginnings of understanding quantifiable return on investment. This concept of a green building and improving environmental performance of buildings is not just a touchy-feely, nice thing to do thing anymore. It's a combination of advancing technology and the budget tightness that we're experiencing all across government, right, that is driving this desire.
Exactly.
So you impact demonstrating the ROI, I think, is the critical piece there, because if we're talking about things that, as you say, that are not simple, that are more complex, it strikes me that those are the things that do require some kind of a budget commitment from an agency. And so being able to say, yes, we have to spend this much up front, but we realize this amount of savings or avoided spend moving forward makes it a lot easier to make that case, right?
It does. And then we also have this tool called the Energy Savings Performance Contract, which enables us to tap into the private sector's knowledge as well as their capital and pay for it by the energy savings over time. This was a contract that was permanently authorized in the Energy Independence and Security Act of 2007, and the president has put a challenge out for federal governments to do $4 billion of work in that way, and we're on our way to doing it. One of the things GSA has been able to do is show that you can double the amount of savings from the traditional 18% that the government was able to achieve for the last 10 years. And last year, we showed that you could double that. We averaged 38%, and this time we're aiming for 50% overall reduction. Again, no capital from the government. So you've got a budget, you've got things you can do, but you've also got tools to get there.
And I hear more and more about tools that are becoming available like this that will drive savings and drive avoided cost and all of that with either a little or no investment up front. How is this happening? I mean, is it just innovative minds, people trying to think about this because it's an important issue? Or is there some other force driving this market, do you think?
Well, I think two things have happened. When we really first started looking into how to make a sustainable building back, say, around 2000, people thought it was tacking on pieces, you know, bolting on a little solar here or maybe doing something, you know, doing indoor air in a different way. And it turns out that looking at the whole building as an integrated package makes a huge difference. And that's when you start realizing that if you spend a little bit of money on the windows and the envelope, then you can make your chillers a much more smaller size. You don't operate them the same way. And then all of these things start to cascade, and it turns out that your trade-offs in a complex thing like a building may end up costing you no more money than a building that's done in the very traditional way. And we measured the first 22 buildings that were built in this way, and we found that the ones that got the highest lead rating. We're the most sustainable. And it's kind of like, what do we mean by sustainable? Number one, the tenant satisfaction was over 20% higher. Number two, the cost of water and the cost of energy was over 20% lower. So this seems like a really good equation. You put the time and the effort to understand the building. You do an integrated design. You get better tenant satisfaction and lower operating costs. It's a good equation.
You used a term there that I want to make sure I understand because I'm just learning about some of this sustainability stuff, Kevin. What is a building's envelope?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the outside of it. It's the windows, the walls, and the roof.
So like the envelope on a letter, it's what covers the bulk of the building. Okay.
It's what's between you and the weather.
Well, and let's hope what stays between me and what goes on between me and the weather stays between me and the weather, is the old saying. I mentioned at the beginning that you are reviewing the latest generation of LEED, version 4. What did you find when you looked at it? What are the improvements or changes to it? And what difference does that make to me if I live inside a federal building envelope?
Well, I think the big finding is that LEED version 4 might be a little tougher to achieve, but it aligns with the federal requirements better than the previous version of LEED. And so that alignment is really important. And we start looking from the standpoint of we have 28 or so statutory and regulatory things that we've got to do in buildings. And we line that up with LEED and we say, how close is it? And we did this with the other rating systems as well. LEED version 4 is the closest alignment that we've seen yet.
And is there a way that I'll see that manifest itself if I work in a federal building that's maybe LEED certified now under one of the previous versions? Or is it not something that will be obvious to me?
I'm hoping it'll be obvious to you, but I think that what you're talking about is that you're seeing a gradual change. If you're in a new building or a building that's been renovated and we're really achieving everything that the federal government is supposed to, you should notice the difference. I mean, I know in my building, I just moved back into the GSA headquarters building. So it's just been renovated, and everybody here notices the difference. Of course, we have the benefit of having half the building not being renovated, so we can just walk down one hallway and we're in an old building, and we see the difference. We have better light quality, we have more access to air. In the renovated building, we can open the windows and get fresh air. So, and by the way, when we do, a very simple little switch turns off the AC or the heat, and so we're not wasting energy when we open the window.
It's really an amazing facility. I had the pleasure of seeing it not long after the refurbished part reopened, and it's really neat, and it feels like a very modern building, but it doesn't feel like a tricked out, oh, it has all this fancy green earthy stuff. You know, does that make sense? It feels like a terrific professional modern workplace.
Yeah, and I think the most sustainable building is the one that suits the applicant, the occupant's needs the most. I mean, it's not going to look fancy. There's no such thing as what a sustainable building looks like. It should work for the occupants. I mean, that's really what buildings are for. They're to serve the people who work there.
Is there a future vision that you have for sustainable buildings, or that the sustainability community has for sustainable buildings more broadly, not just in government? Is that something is there a horizon here that we can see progress toward, Kevin?
I think the key thing people are focusing on the most now is how do we know when a building is working for the occupants? And that goes to different kinds of measurement and really focusing on performance over time. When we started out a couple of decades ago in this, it was kind of get it right and then do the next building. And now we're realizing, let's not walk away. Let's keep watching what's going on in the building and keep monitoring, because like a lot of things, if you don't reinforce good habits, you sort of slide into bad habits. And buildings are exactly the same way as people. I mean, they'll slide into bad habits really easily.
What challenges does the building as living object, evolving object present, though?
Well, I think one of the challenges is that it isn't the way that most of the building operators have been trained over the years. And so we're really talking about how do we shift human behavior both on the operator side and the occupant side. I mean, I'll give you the example. You know, people, you know, we wake up in the morning, we have breakfast, we brush our teeth, we go to work, we go to bed, we brush our teeth beforehand, but we don't really think about brushing our teeth. And getting used to doing the same kind of things in buildings, you know, not turning the lights on or, you know, or wearing the appropriate clothes, it's kind of like, how do we get people to treat that like brushing your teeth?